This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Live at the Beacon Building. It is gorgeous out there, and it's Thursday. One more day till the weekend. I have a big wedding to go to on Saturday.
Oh, you do?
An outdoor wedding.
Where is it going to be?
It is being held at my dad's house.
Oh, I've heard some discussion of preparing everything for that. Now, is Dad doing the cooking? Or
Dad is not doing the cooking.
No.
It is about 150 people. So,
oh, well, not that you haven't handled catering jobs
correct,
that big.
But Dad wants to enjoy it.
True.
Belmont Hall is actually catering.
Oh, perfect.
So, but it's supposed to be beautiful, and, you know, so I'm excited for it.
Well,
it'll be fun.
I can't attend because I'm part of a three-author book signing fundraiser at Barnes & Noble on Saturday. Yeah, I'm really excited. My book is 50 Shades of Radio. It's been in Barnes & Noble now for a couple months after like 2 years of not being in there. So along with John Clayton, our good friend, and Dan Sesney, who is one of the founders of the Hippo.
I know him very well. Very nice.
So we need to get him in some time because he's traveled all over the world. He was a travel writer, so he knows food as well.
Yeah.
So the three of us are going to be signing copies of our books and meeting and greeting at Barnes & Noble on South Willow this Saturday, and we're doing it to benefit West Library over on the west side because they had a big water deluge and they lost a lot of books and other equipment. They had a burst pipe earlier this year. So Barnes & Noble asked if we would like to come in and, you know, a portion of the proceeds from the books that we sell and sign will go toward helping the library recoup some of that. So 4 to 6 this Saturday. Hey, perfect Father's Day gift, books. Dad
it
loves
is.
To read. Now, I'm not sure what I'm doing in with this group because between Dan Sesney and John Clayton, they've got about 10 books. I have one stinking book, 50 Shades of Radio.
Yeah, but Mike, it's you're Mike.
Oh, is that what it is?
You are Mike. That's what it is. And you know what? Before we get Linda on.
Yes.
Are you? Is that?
Yes,
so
thank you.
So it's Saturday,
it's Saturday, 4 to 6.
We'll have to keep saying that, too.
Okay. Thank you.
I got a card from, do you know Andrew? Andrew from Hillsborough?
Andrew from Hillsborough. I don't
Andrew
think so.
Andrew from Hillsborough. He says, Carol, just can't thank you enough for bringing Mike Skillet Morin aboard. Also much appreciate the podcast you make available. Best wishes, continued success, Andrew from Hillsborough.
Well, thank you, Andrew.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
That was very nice.
I got the name Skillet. I mean,
Mike Skillet Morin.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that would ring a bell for you.
No, he may be just giving me a kind of a food nickname, and I'll take that. You know,
you
it could have been a lot worse.
Cool.
Mike Leftovers Morin or something. No. But speaking of the podcast, tell people how they can hear any show from, well, when the show started daily in February.
From when the show started, you can go right to foodforthoughtnh.com, and you can listen to all of our past radio shows.
It's all there.
It's very cool.
It takes about up to a week sometimes to get everything uploaded.
A week for sure. I'd say more in like the 4 to 5 day.
Okay.
But yeah.
There aren't a lot of, not a lot of stations that do that on a regular basis, at least not in New Hampshire. So if you're a food person and you missed an interview with maybe a celebrity chef or somebody that you know, it's there.
There you go. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, without any further ado, let's welcome on our weekly segment, Linda of What's Cooking in Kansas. She has a blog there and back again, lindaathompson.blogspot.com. Today, Linda, I guess we're going to be talking about some Creole shrimp boil. Hi, Linda.
Oh, talk about timing, too. I mean, I was listening to your first hour, and I could not believe that you're not only talking seafood, but you also had New Orleans sister there and serving all that great New Orleans-style food, and then I just posted the Creole shrimp boil up on the blog.
Isn't that cool?
Perfect timing.
I know. I didn't even plan it that way either. I really didn't.
Come on, Carol. Don't be so modest.
I swear to God, I didn't. I swear.
But it is seafood month, so.
Right.
Know,
it is seafood
month. It all kind of works
out. Well, all I know is that the next time I'm in New Hampshire, my butt's going to be sitting at a table in New Orleans because it sounds like everything there would be something. I'd have to go every day for a week to eat everything I'd want to try.
I don't think they would still be open after all this time if it wasn't well received and if they didn't do a good job of the food. Because that kind of a place you wouldn't think would last unless it's done really well. And it has been.
It has. And you know what? I just went and returned the plates and, you know, his pan and stuff. And the whole outside is full.
Oh, it is?
Oh, cool.
For lunches, yeah, which is great. You know, I love to see that, you know, in Manchester. So yeah. So, Linda,
I was sad to hear about that Z that used to be there closed. So I'm glad that it sounds like a really great place that's taken that spot.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, that was a sad moment when Z closed down a couple of years ago. But, of course, Nolans has been, as you point out, a tremendous addition to the block. And you know, you probably wouldn't recognize Elm Street, Linda, because there have been so many new additions and others that have gone by the way, which you hate to see that happen, but only the strong survive, I guess.
That's the way it is in the restaurant world. Usually, I mean, the rule of thumb, they say, is 3 years. If you survive more than 3 years in a restaurant, then you probably have a pretty strong restaurant. But even, I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes even the ones that have been around a long time, they eventually have to go. Somebody retires or, you know, just doesn't want to do it anymore or for whatever the reason.
And that's a very good point. That makes me think of a place that I went to a couple weekends ago in Cape Natick, Maine, called the Velveteen Habit. It used to be a place called Arrows, was run by the same two guys for 25 years. And they just decided they were going to leave and just try a whole different take on doing restaurants. So they're going to Portland to run a really nice restaurant and a hotel up there. So I guess you just change it up.
Arrows isn't there anymore?
Arrows is no more. It has been replaced.
No!
I hate to break it to you. I'm so sorry. So that was a favorite place of yours?
Well, and I loved their concept. I mean, they had their own garden in the back, and they were always picking fresh vegetables and herbs and everything to use in the restaurant. And they were one of the earlier adopters of farm-to-table and fresh,
yes,
and, you know, organic and all that. And, I'm just crushed.
Well, that's very true. You're right. But the new owners, a young, hip, but still, I think, not over the top, a couple guys have taken it over. They've renamed it Velvet Habit. And Barbara and I went there a couple of weekends ago, and it was sensational. And they're still doing all the farming, the container gardens and the box garden. And the whole deal is still there. So they have not lost that. But clearly, they've got big shoes to fill for people like you that are used to going to Arrows, because that was a James Beard Award-winning cooking team there.
Right. It was an amazing. Well, if they're out in Oregon, they'll do really well, because everybody thinks the same kind of concept that they have. So if they're taking their concept out that way, they're going to do great. And I'm glad that somebody took over that at least, you know, has the same mindset. So.
Yeah, actually, it's Portland, Maine. In case I didn't make that clear, they're not going to
Portland,
Oregon.
Oh, Portland, Maine. Okay.
Right, just up the road. But they've been there since 1988, so we're talking over 25 years as Arrows. And I never did find out exactly why they left. I did all the research I could, but never found out why. They just had an opportunity to take over a restaurant and a really nice hotel in Portland, Maine. And so that's how that story ends.
Well, it was like Carol, like the Red Arrow, and, you know, they've been around for decades, and it's amazing, you know, because people change and retire or get tired and, you know, don't want to do it anymore. And the fact that restaurants like Red Arrow have been around for decades really says something.
Yeah, I was just sharing with her, because Carol stepped out for a moment, sharing that Arrows became Velvet Habit up in
Velveteen Habit, I should say,
right, up in Maine. And Carol, I'm sorry, Linda was heartbroken because that was one of her favorite places, and she didn't know that. I had to break it to her.
Oh.
She broke down and sobbed for a couple minutes, but she has regained her composure and is ready to move on with your take on seafood today, correct?
Right, yeah. Well, what's really fun about the Creole shrimp boil that I put up on the blog is that, well, the first time I ever made it, I used to live in Hillsborough. And, you know, every year we had a big cookout barbecue for the Hillsborough Hot Air Balloon Festival that they have every year. And so one year, when all the friends were gathered around, I took what we usually use to deep fry turkeys, you know, the propane burner in the big pot, and I filled it with corn and potatoes and sausage and lots of great seasonings and then shrimp. And then when it was done, I scooped everything out and put it right on top of newspaper on top of the table, right in the middle of the table. And my friends were all standing around looking at me like that. I had lost my mind.
You mean that stuff was in the deep fryer, the corn and the potatoes and the shrimp, everything all in one hot vat?
All in one pot. Though, of course, it's not oil. We're boiling it in a mixture of water, beer, onion, garlic, bay leaf, and lots of Creole seasonings. And so you boil it all up in there. So when you take, and then you scoop it out and put it right on the table. And that's how they traditionally do it, whether it's a shrimp boil or a crawfish boil down south. Usually you just dump it all out in the middle of the table and go for it. Have at it. You don't need a plate. Have some napkins. Have a little cocktail sauce for the shrimp and some butter for the corn. And just, you know, reach in with your hands and have fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of a communal free-for-all almost.
family style.
Family style.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carol. What was that?
No. I said nothing like family style.
Man.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate family style. And just think of the cleanup. You just roll everything up in the dirty newspaper in the trash. You're done, right?
Yeah, exactly. My gosh.
I would love to see Nolens kind of do a version
that
of that.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Maybe like one day a month or something, they have a family style and they just pile it up on the tables and you just go for it.
Lou would be all about that, too.
Would he?
He really would.
No dishwasher needed that day.
I know.
Well, what's nice, too, is that if you want to keep it near, you can just put it on a platter. And serve it on a platter, which is what I did in the pictures, because in my little apartment in downtown Topeka, pouring all that onto the table just might not work. But so I've been put it on a large platter instead. So, but
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's also nice about the recipe, though, I mean, I did cook it outside on that big burner because I, like, doubled or tripled the recipe because there were so many people. But you can do it, you know, just in a regular pot, either on your stovetop or on the burner of a grill if you want to do it outside. Mm-hmm. Or I also give directions for a slow cooker, which I just figured out how to do my recipe in the slow cooker. And, you know, that is so easy. It is a simple, and the dish itself is simple no matter how you cook it. So you can have it for dinner during the week.
So what are the spices that we're putting in this? Because you do have my interest on this.
Well, I do have a mixture of what I call almost Emeril Lagasse's Creole spice mix. It's based on his essence. Spice mix that he used, and it's got some paprika, salt, coarse garlic powder, black pepper, onion powder, dried oregano, dried thyme, and cayenne pepper. So, and however hot you want it, that's how you judge how much cayenne pepper you're going to use. The recipe that I have on the website does give it a bit of a kick when you use it, but you can always tone down the cayenne if you don't want that much spice to it.
There you go.
You only forgot one ingredient.
What's that?
Bam!
Really? I forgot that.
Did you ever used to watch his show and he would have like an audience, he'd have a band, and he would just come out and cook?
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
I used to watch it all the time. And actually, I was lucky enough to interview him about 3 times for different articles that I did.
Nice.
And what's fun is when you get him on the phone, he is so quiet. And he's not that boisterous, over-exuberant person that you see on TV. When you're talking to him in a phone conversation, he's laid back, kind of reserved, and almost had to get him talking to keep going with the interview on the phone. So
I can confirm what Linda's saying because I've interviewed him twice as well. And he brings good content to the table. He gives you really good, useful stuff. And you won't meet a nicer, more polite man. Anything you want, Mike, you got me for as long as you need me, which of course I know isn't true. But he makes you feel like, you know, you're like the one person he's thinking about at that moment.
That's nice. And
I appreciated that.
He was always great the times that I interviewed him. And the one time, it wasn't long. It wasn't Katrina, but it was the hurricane they had the year before. I think it was ice. And it flooded one of his restaurants somewhat. And I'd asked him about, you know, how everything was. And he was really kind to talk about, you know, how his employees, they were doing okay. They hadn't missed very many days of being able to be open. So they got to stay on the job and, you know, that kind of thing. So I can imagine with Katrina, it must have been crazy afterwards. But, yeah, no, great guy. And I love using, like I said, my version of it. I tweaked his essence a little bit just to fit my taste more. But I loved all his kind of cooking. And then it was actually his recipe for Creole shrimp cocktail that made me think of doing the Creole shrimp boil.
Shrimp cocktail. What's different about his shrimp cocktail sauce?
Well, it's not the cocktail sauce, per se. It's how you cook the shrimp.
Oh.
Because, you know, a lot of people, when they're making shrimp for shrimp cocktail, they just put it in boiling water with some salt and boil it. And, you know, where's the flavor in that? I mean, you know, yeah, the shrimp's got its shrimp flavor, but you can make it so much better. In fact, the French call it a cordon, I can't pronounce it right, a cordon bleu or something like that. Anyway, you flavor the water you're going to boil your shrimp in. And in this case, you're putting in onions, celery, lots of garlic, bay leaves, and then, of course, you know, Creole seasoning like his essence. You put it in there, you boil it for 10, 15 minutes, and then you put the shrimp in. And then the shrimp picks up all that great flavor.
Mm.
And anytime I've made his Creole shrimp cocktail and taken it to a party, it's gone in seconds. And people are like, you didn't make enough, you didn't make enough, you know? And so, and that's the same with the shrimp boil. It's all a matter of you get that beer in the water, you get the beer in the water with the half a, with the garlic cut head, whole head cut in half, and a whole onion cut in quarters, and you got bay leaf, and you've got the Creole seasonings, and lemon, you know, you squeeze the lemon juice in, and then you throw the lemon in with it, and you get that boiling, and you get it cooking, and then you put your stuff in. And then all the, everything, the potatoes, and the corn, and even the smoked sausage, they get lots of extra flavor from that water, and then, of course, the shrimp as well gets that bit of flavor. And then you've got all that flavor infused in everything, and it's wonderful.
That sounds delicious. I think
I have to try, so I can't make you hungry. You guys have already eaten.
Yeah. Would you, would you use andouille sausage in that? I thought I heard you say sausage in there.
You could. I think that would be traditional. I tend to use just smoked sausage or kielbasa, those kind of things, just because the myself and the people I know like that sausage, and I'm not sure how they feel about andouille. Sometimes I'll have to throw both in and then give
Is there much in the way of good seafood in Topeka, Kansas, or Wichita? I forget where you live.
Topeka, yeah.
Topeka.
But, it's frozen, of course, because of being out here in the middle of the country. But as far as fresh seafood, it's the typical, you know, salmon and shrimp and cod and flounder, things like that, that, you know, that have been frozen and shipped in. But it's fine. It's good. It's not like being able to go down to the fish store where they just got it from the Boston Fish Market that morning. You know?
Right.
That kind of thing. But as far as seafood in restaurants, you know, I have not come across a seafood restaurant other than Red Lobster. That's the only seafood restaurant here. Now, there are restaurants that will have a seafood dish, you know, a salmon dish or something, but yeah, most of them, a lot of them don't do a lot of seafood, and there's not a totally seafood restaurant around that I've found. Fried lake catfish, though, is really big out here, so.
Mm. Yes, I grew up in Michigan, and that was pretty popular. Perch was also another one. But it's funny, all the places like Long John Silver and Red Lobster pretty much never survived in New England very long. Does anybody remember Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips?
I used to work
there. Oh, sure, yeah.
Seriously, Carol?
On South Willow Street.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Arthur Treacher's.
I've heard of it too. I don't know that I ever ate there, but I have heard of it.
They had really good chicken and chips, is what they were called. It was like just this fried chicken, and but you know, thick batter and fried and crispy, mm-hmm. and it was a boneless chicken,
yeah.
You know, but it was shaped like a. I think it was shaped like a triangle or something, and the chips were, of course, you know, French fries, but they were thick like chips, and yeah, it was pretty good.
I remember liking it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I worked there for a few months. Not anything. I don't even remember when I worked there.
When did the place close down? I don't know if it's been there since I've lived here.
No, it wasn't there long.
No.
It, this was years and years ago, and I don't even think it was there for 2 years. It really was not there long. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was on South Willow Street.
Okay, why would you open up a franchised seafood place, you know, in this part of the country?
It's true. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, I don't even go there. It'd be like opening up some kind of, well, it's like, I wonder how many Popeyes there really are down south.
Right.
You know, because, you know, what we think of is Louisiana or Creole cooking up in other parts of the country, they probably just stop at it down there. So
I have to admit, I'm not a franchise food person, but Popeyes has me. If I ever run across one, they have one at the Las Vegas Airport food court. So I was a happy man heading back to New Hampshire after leaving a few dollars behind. So, oh my God, Popeyes, must have Popeyes.
So Popeyes made up for
fried
it.
Chicken
yeah.
is so good. It is so good. Well, you know, the other seafood thing that you eat in the summer is lobster roll. And I'm curious, do you guys like lobster rolls?
Yes.
Yes, I just had one. The cheapest one I found and the best one I found just 2 days ago, Castle Island off of South Boston and Boston Harbor.
Oh, we were talking about that. That's right.
Yes, I was shocked. Half the price of other places. We have a call?
We do have a call. Okay. We have Joe from Sutton that would like to chat with us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? What's happening?
Good. You're talking about shrimp boil, and my cousin lives down in Savannah, Georgia, has a restaurant just before you go over the bridge to Tybee Island, and it's called Michael's Place. Mm. And that's one of the things that he does is awesome shrimp boil. He throws some crawdads in it, and basically it's family style. Dumps it on the table, and there you go. Have at it.
Cool.
That is so much fun. I love doing that. I love the looks on people's faces when you dump their dinner on a table.
The table must be pretty big.
It took me by surprise, too, first time I went down there.
Wow.
And Joe, did they put it on like a big piece of newspaper, or do they have some kind of a tray? What did they put it on?
Big old newspaper, and they just dump it right there on the newspaper. Everyone grabs what they want.
Kind of cool.
Basically the same thing. He uses some Creole seasoning. And it's really great.
Very cool. Well, thank you for calling us and giving us that tip.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
So, if you're ever down in Savannah, Georgia, check out Michael's Place.
There you go.
Awesome.
I will.
Thanks.
I'm going to be looking.
Yeah, my brother brother used to have a small house on Tybee Island, which is kind of a little resort island right off of Savannah. Take the whatever it is causeway to get there, but I've never heard of that place.
Yeah.
All right, write that down.
I'm
going
to have to, my cousin lives in Savannah, so I'm going to have to tell him about it or ask him. I'm sure he knows about it.
Yeah.
Lives right
there's
there.
Your next trip with Daryl is down that way, Tybee Island.
There you go. You never know. Well, Linda, we need to let you go. And we'll chat with you next week.
Yes, definitely.
All right. And what is the topic going to be some favorite summertime dishes again, or what are we going to?
I don't know. I'm leaning towards maybe coming up, maybe a summer cocktail or some kind of summer drink. So,
all right.
I'm still working on it. So.
Okay. All right. And then maybe we can pick up your lobster roll story as well.
Okay. Well, I was just going to see how you guys like them because everybody has their preference. So.
I like them free when I can get them that way.
Oh,
and by the way, Linda, you're on next Tuesday. We had the Red Sox are on that your normal time. So, and since they refused to change the time of the game, we said Linda's not going to be happy. So you're on next Tuesday at 1:00, just to let everybody, all your fans know.
All I know is they better win then, because if I have to move my time to Tuesday, they had better be.
All right, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
All right. We'll talk to you Tuesday. All right. All right.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to Food for Thought live in the Beacon Building. You're listening to The Pulse. And when we come back, we are going to be in studio with two employees, Shonda and Lauren, of the Manchester Chamber. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Has something to do with food, then you're going to find it right here every weekday with Carol and Mike on Food for Thought, WTPL, The Pulse, 107.7, home of Ken Kale. Ken Kale and Company, here in just about 25 minutes or so. One of our sponsors, New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com, and KC's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked, award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue, 837 2nd Street in Manchester, online at ribshack.net.
All right, and our next guest here in studio, we have in our presence here the Manchester Chamber, a couple of employees, Shonda and Lauren. So welcome to Food for Thought.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
great to be here.
I'm very glad that you came. And Shonda's been on Food for Thought many times, actually.
Yeah, many times. It's been a few years now, but we're getting back there.
Yeah, exactly. So what is happening with the Chamber in Manchester and the dining scene and just, you know?
You know, I'm so excited with the changes that are coming to the Manchester Chamber of Commerce. We have two new staff, and the young people on the staff have so many fresh ideas. And we have so many restaurants that are supportive. But I do have to tell you a story.
Uh-oh.
So, oh, it's good. It was delicious. So we did your drive-thru for the first time last Sunday, and it was amazing. My husband texts me, like, halfway home. He's like, I'm pulling over to eat your sausage and biscuits.
Oh, jeez.
what he ordered for you?
Yes, I called in the order. He picked it up, and he was going to pull over and eat my food. Wow. I know. He's a loving man.
Yeah.
But anyway, with the chamber, and I said, we have so many restaurants that are so supportive, and I try to do everything I can to push business their way and make the referrals out. And Carol, you've done amazing, and you've been a member of the chamber for, years. But it's always so nice when a restaurant or any downtown business calls me and says, you know, Carol referred me to the chamber. So as you know, it's always good to get a referral.
I'm so happy about that because I'm always telling people about
the
chamber.
You are.
You know, especially new businesses because it's really, you know, it's where you network, you know, and chamber people visit other chamber people's businesses, you know, and it really works.
Yeah.
So.
And one of the great parts that I get to play in the chamber is, you know, bringing in the new membership, but also teaching them how to network. And I had a quick story. One of your loyal listeners, Erin Hodgkins, so she used to come to the chamber meetings only at lunch for the small things because she was too nervous to go to the bigger events.
I
know, you're the same way. So I finally got her to come to a larger event, and I had people take care of her. And now she's one of my volunteers, and she helps the new people that come in like that. I would have you with her now.
Really?
Yes, and so she's been amazing. I always say I couldn't get her to talk, and now I can't get her to be quiet. Sorry, Erin, if you're listening.
That is cool.
And she's another one that's out there just referring everything to chamber members. So it's a good source.
Good, I'm glad. And Lauren is one of the newer employees of the chamber?
Yes, yeah. She's 4 months now.
Yes, yeah. I grew up in New Hampshire, and I've been living out of state for a while. So I'm so excited to be back living in downtown and walking distance to all of the awesome places to eat. it's great to be around all these great restaurants with all these different styles of food. I mean, really anything you're craving, there's an option
it's
for
true.
You downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that. That is so true. I mean, just what just popped into my head. I mean, we've got like Piccolo Italian, mm-hmm. then you have Mexican, you have Indian,
Chinese.
Yep. Midtown Cafe.
But, you know, just different Nolans.
Yes.
We just fed the mayor. they have a new chef over there. Have you been lately?
I have. It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, today is the grand opening of the farmer's markets.
Yes. We talked about that with the mayor.
So we're doing the ribbon cutting later today.
Good. Yeah. What time is that now?
2:45.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it usually, what is the official time start of the
I believe
farmer's
it's
market?
Three
is it three? That's
six.
What I thought.
Three to six, yeah.
Three to six.
And pretty much this time until, I think, third or fourth week in October.
Yeah, it goes as long as it can go.
There you go.
Yeah. So you can stop Thursday, get all your groceries for dinner, and,
that's right.
and go home.
Get it for the whole weekend and just stay home.
Exactly.
Yep. and it's healthy.
That's right, of course.
So you stay home because you have your new she shack in the backyard.
I know. Oh, you got to come
over and
see my
she shack.
What is it?
Cute.
A she shack.
It's like a man cave, but it's for for ladies.
It's a she cave.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yes, I took my old chicken coop in the backyard and made it into, it's so cute. That's all I can say. It's just so
when
cute.
Are we having ladies night there?
Anytime.
Okay.
Anytime.
That'd be a hen party, wouldn't it? Or is that something?
Oh, that's a good one.
But, you know, I wanted to hear more about Picnic in the Park because something that I've not really been familiar with, yet it's something that really wants to bring the city together and enjoy food.
Yeah, yeah. It's an event that the Chamber has done. This will be the third year. We're scaling it back a little bit in means of the frequency. It's just going to be one day in August, August 12th from 11 to 2. So just 3 hours, and we encourage all the employees and business owners, property owners, residents of downtown and the Manchester area to just grab some lunch, whether it be from one of the great local restaurants or bag lunch to bring it on down to the park and enjoy the outdoors, you know, celebrate the summer, get out there with their coworkers and get some sunshine. And it's very family friendly. So, you know, even if people want to run, grab their kids from daycare and have them meet their coworkers.
Pets allowed?
Oh, yeah. Why not? Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Tell them about some of the activities that are planned.
Let's do that. But first, we have a caller standing by.
Yeah, we actually have a caller.
And then we'll come back.
And it's your friend, Erin. So why don't you talk with her?
To defend herself.
Hi, Erin.
Hi, Shonda.
Oh, well, now you're going to be shy.
Yeah.
Not going to say anything.
Thanks for the kind words you said on the radio. Yeah, it's been so much fun being an ambassador for the Greater Manchester Chamber of Commerce and working with them for almost over 5 years now.
Yeah. And she's been very involved. And like I said, if you're a restaurant out there, Erin knows who you are.
You know what? I recognize her voice. I know exactly who she is.
All right. So it's your job when there are new members that come in. Does she actually kind of help guide? Does she get like one new person and put them through the all the advantages of being a chamber member?
Yes, absolutely. And I even entrusted my son to her. So my son came to one of our network PM events, and I took him straight to Erin. She now knows just about everybody. So she's a go-to person. If you're a new business, you need to talk to Erin.
There you go.
Yes.
And, you know, let's talk a little bit about your network PMs, which I haven't been to one for a while, but they're so fun. I mean,
yes.
I love the networking. And so let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, our next one is going to be July 9th at the Quality Inn. And that used to be the Four Seasons, and they did a whole name rebranding. And,
on South Willow, right?
Yes, South Willow.
Okay.
And so it's going to be there. And they've done two in the past, and they've had amazing food put out. And so I'm excited to see what they're going to do, and it's just kind of a grand opening celebration. And then in August, I think it's August 20th, it's our annual picnic party at TF Moran. So they put a big tent out and have a band, and they have the Whining Butcher there.
That's the one in Bedford.
Yeah, that caters. That's the one you show up to every year.
I went to that one last year. That is fun.
Yeah,
that's very
so
fun.
It's very good. But we have a very good chamber, and with our members, they're really focused on networking and building business. And it's not just a party you're going to, but it's, you know, really to get to know the other members and how to learn to refer business to each other. So it's really exciting.
It definitely is. So, and Erin is an ambassador, so she's usually at these events.
She is at every event.
And they're the ones that wear those blue ribbons.
The blue ribbons,
so
yes.
If anybody there that has questions, you usually spot out a blue ribbon. And they're usually scattered, you know, all over. So,
yeah.
Erin, how do you like all the network PMs? And do you have a favorite event that the chamber does?
The TF Moran definitely is at the top of the list. The TF Moran event in August.
Right.
And then you're also very active at the Lunchtime Connections, which Ignite Bar and Grill is our food sponsor for that event.
They put out nice food, too.
That event is by far my favorite because I just love sitting there and meeting 20 different business people. You hear about their jobs and what they do and their background, whether it's for a nonprofit or for an international insurance agency. So just sitting there and getting to listen to what everybody else in the city does for work every day is quite interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
How many members are there in the organization?
We're about 900 members.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're going to keep growing. Now that we have the younger staff joining us, and now that I can get back to, you know, the development of membership, I'm really excited of what this fall is going to bring.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we need to take a break. It's break time. Erin, thank you for giving a... I'm doing on the show. We're going to go on a break. We are in studio with the Manchester Chamber of Commerce. Erin, thank you for calling in, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street. You are listening to The Pulse. Up in just a few minutes will be Kale and Company, winner of the Calder Cup, the Monarchs. And they had a, did you see any pictures of, did you see the
I
pictures
did.
Of Ken on Facebook?
I did.
That was so cool.
Him getting in at 5 a.m. or whatever time the bus returned and then speaking. And
cool.
He didn't miss one game in the 14-year history of the Manchester Monarchs. He's kind of the Cal Ripken of broadcasters in that regard. Of course, it starts over now with a brand new version of the Monarchs this coming fall, which I can't wait to see.
I know. I think it's going to all be great.
I agree.
It's great for the city, you know, Fishcat Stadium, Monarchs, Verizon, everything. And so, you know, let's just recap with the lunch in the park, Lauren.
Oh, sure. Yes. So, yep, we're having this the Chamber of Commerce is having this picnic in the park on August 12th.
Okay, picnic in the park. Mm-hmm. It used to be called Lunch in the Park.
It used to be called Lunch in the Park. We're calling it Picnic in the Park this year because we really want to encourage downtown business owners, residents to come on down, grab some lunch, bring a picnic blanket, you know, and enjoy the park. It's one of our city's greatest assets. It's a large park. We're going to have live music, ice cream, networking. We want it to be family friendly, so there'll probably be some children's activities going on and other activities. It's just an opportunity for everyone to really get out of the office this summer, enjoy the park, enjoy some sunshine and each other's company. Yeah.
All right, as far as food goes, you did mention ice cream. Are there any other participating restaurants, or how's that going to work?
We're working on getting that set up right now.
Okay.
So, but
you would expect there would be some, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're gonna have a full fun day for everybody.
And do we know if people would pay for that, or is that too early to say whether or not it would be
For the food, we would probably have vendors up, so you'd buy the food there.
Okay.
Or pick up food on your way to the location. But
or just even pack a lunch at home.
Yeah, or pack a lunch.
Right. Encourage it that way.
And as it gets closer, we were thinking about having that for the kids.
That would be fun.
Have some live music and games and, you know.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Wednesday.
August 12th.
Right?
Okay. And the times again?
11 to 2.
Perfect. Lunch hour. Come on over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take some time off work and enjoy the sun.
Just tell your boss you're going to be gone for 3 hours. No big deal.
There'll be people there with business cards so you can have proof that you
that you were networking. That's exactly right.
That really is a great space, though, isn't it, Carol?
It's awesome.
Veterans Park. I mean,
yeah,
the stage is fabulous.
Yep.
You and I both judged the International Chili Competition that was here a couple of years ago, and it was big enough. I mean, it was actually pretty tight because there were so many winners
vendors
that were there.
Yeah, it was
but it was one of the most popular events there that I can remember in recent years.
Yeah, it definitely was.
So you can do a lot there.
Yeah. So the picnic in the park, as it comes, a little further on, as things get confirmed, you can let us know and we can certainly talk about it.
Oh, that would be exciting.
To get
absolutely.
People there. So, yeah, for sure.
How about like websites, just a place where people can reach out to you for information, website, Facebook?
Yeah, actually, Lauren is our communications director, so I'll let you go over all
that. We'd love for everybody to follow the Manchester Chamber of Commerce on Facebook. You know, you'll find out about all of our networking events, but also what your colleagues and what other business people are doing in the community. And so that's really probably the best way to find out what we're up to all the time and how to get involved. And there's also Manchester-chamber.org as well.
There you go. So if there's listeners out there, business owners out there, and from all different types of businesses.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct? Right. All different kinds of businesses. Sorry. I never have my phone on. I apologize.
I thought that was our break music.
Yeah.
Oh, good. We got some new break music. Speaking of broken, she shattered her screen yesterday.
I did.
So sad.
Shatter my screen. I forgot what I was just saying.
How about businesses?
If you would like to, become a chamber member, which I, as a business owner, highly recommend. I think it's like the way to meet people, especially a new business. You know, I mean, they'd be crazy not to join the chamber, really.
Yeah. I don't know how often you have your events. I'm involved with Salem's Chamber of Commerce, and I know they're doing stuff all the time, and I can't imagine that you're not. I mean, you do, there's breakfast, there's midday things, there's after work parties and mixers. I'm going to guess same thing here, right?
It is the same thing here. Yeah. And one exciting thing, just to like save the date, is our Tri-City Expo this year is October 1st. I keep banging the table and they're grabbing my arms here.
Not me, Mike.
We're putting you in a straitjacket next time.
I know, it's horrible.
Drives the producer crazy back at the studio.
So be watching for, you can get a free pass to get into it, but there's also going to be a bistro area in the Tri-City Expo with about 15 restaurants.
Oh, Tri-City's fun.
That's September, usually, at the Radisson?
But it's going to be October 1st this year.
Oh, it is,
at the Radisson.
All right.
So mark that date down and even look at the website, tricityexpo.com, and see if you want to be an exhibitor or take part in the bistro if you're a restaurant.
There you go.
That is a great event.
It is a fun event. Do you have a theme yet for it?
Can I say it?
Yes. I would love to.
I'm so excited about this one.
I love, because, this is one thing, too, the Chamber does. I mean, you do all these fun, different things. And What is the theme?
Throwback Thursday.
Oh, that's why awesome. It's on the first. It's
exactly. It had to be on a Thursday. And yeah. We're encouraging businesses, maybe pull some of your old logos out or do your booth in retro style. So
brilliant.
I'm really, really excited. Brilliant. It's going to be fun.
That's cool. Is that your phone again, or is that the real goodbye music?
That
here?
Is the real goodbye music.
I couldn't tell.
I love that theme.
I know. It's going to be fun.
That is very cool. All right. Thank you very much, Chamber,
thank
for coming.
Thank you so much.
That
good
is fantastic.
You.
Thank
yeah.
you.
You're welcome.
And up next is Kale and Company, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. We've got Comedy Cold Cuts. We have Kevin Miller of KRM Chocolates, as well as Christine Bell from Hope Bars. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.